I have another quote here that I think deserves to be more widely known. One of the greatest Ottoman educationalists, and the Ottoman Empire was particularly concerned to inculcate sacred knowledge, and the great men and indeed the great women of the Ottoman Empire were busy in establishing madrasas almost from the moment of the state's inception. If you have the good fortune to visit the great Ottoman cities as they exist today, you will see the extraordinary size and grandeur and ambition of these madrasas. The great Sahni Saman, the great Islamic college in the Fatih Mosque in Istanbul, which trained the great muftis and the qadis that went out throughout the length and the breadth of the Islamic Empire. And Tashkeprizadeh, who was a great Ottoman scholar in the beginning of the 16th century by the Gregorian calendar, has a book called Miftah al-Sa'ada, where he lists the books and the knowledges known in the madrasas of the Ottoman Empire in his day. And the number of ulum is almost 400 different sciences, which he says can be and are taught. Not all in madrasas, sometimes in, say, a craft apprentice master relationship. So he has everything there from tafsir, metrics, astronomy, the science of water clocks, the science of dividing up inheritance, sciences of agriculture. All of these are considered to be ulum, and all of these are available in his day. And then he says that the true educator has to have students who acknowledge 10 responsibilities. He lists these 10. These are the 10 responsibilities of the student towards ilm and the ulama. First of these is self-discipline. A student has to be able to control himself, has to be able to manage his time adequately, has to prepare lessons, mustn't be lazy. So riyadat an-nafs, a basic religious method and virtue, is necessary in education as it is in ibadah. Secondly, the talib, the student, must strive after sincerity of intention. None of what he does will be any good whatsoever if he is doing it for dunyawi purposes or in a fit of absent-mindedness, or because, as sometimes happens in the Muslim world today, he's not qualified for any other profession. Thirdly, he says the student must constantly strive to reduce worldly distractions, which means that the place where the student stays has to be austere and simple, not full of games, distractions, unnecessary visitations from friends at night. Distractions have to be cut down, and the student has to have a deliberate policy through muhasabah of reducing unnecessary worldly distractions. Fourthly, part of this also is resisting laziness. You can't become an alim if you're guilty of kasal or sloth, laziness. Fifthly, the student must accustom himself to the idea that he will always be a student, that the acquisition of knowledge continues until the moment when we enter the grave, that it's not as if we learn until a certain point after which we are ulama and then we just teach and stop learning. No, the process of learning, once begun, continues until our last breath. Sixthly, the student has the responsibility and the duty to choose a teacher who is not just qualified educationally, but is pure-hearted and sincere, somebody who clearly has been transformed by his ulum. Seventhly, the responsibility of the talib is to know at least the rudiments of every Islamic discipline and not to over-specialize. You can't be an alim if you know everything there is to be known about tafsir or grammar or asbab wurud al-hadith or whatever, but you don't know even the basics of the other disciplines. You have to be well-rounded, even though clearly at a later time specialization is necessary and inevitable. Eighthly, one of the responsibilities of the Ottoman religious student, the softa, is to visit other students in order to discuss the texts and problems and lessons with them and to debate with them. The process of education is greatly facilitated if it's not just a kind of teach-yourself course, but if one is sharing discussions with other people who are on the same track. Ninthly, the student must never be guilty of taswif. In other words, he must never delay tasks until tomorrow. If a lesson needs to be reviewed or mugged up, if notes need to be taken immediately after a lecture is over, then that must be done right away, lest one's memory fade. Tenthly, the student has the responsibility to know the nobility and the dignity and the importance of knowledge, that this is not a little thing, but this is something on which one's fate in the Akhirah depends. So, those are Tashkuprazade's recipes for success in an Ottoman university for the student. Now, Tashkuprazade was himself a well-known teacher and historian, a great enthusiast of the works of Imam al-Ghazali in particular, although he was a Hanafi scholar, like almost all of the great ulama of the Ottoman Empire. And